This is the SML Vaultcast.
Welcome to Small, Medium, Large, the News Large, then. Johnny Quest's best friend.
There we go.
Johnny. Oh, my
right
God.
Here.
I sell like sweatshop forgery.
I'm really happy. I'm proud of myself that I was able to think of his name that quickly.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
That was pretty good because I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
And you told me before I could think of it.
I think we could do like we did last episode where there was a little bit of bullshittery. Before it's like, oh, yeah.
I've been recording ever since I plugged it all
you
in.
You have?
Yeah, all right. You could cut whatever you want.
Name. All right.
What's up, everybody? I'm Small.
I'm Medium.
I'm Large, and welcome to episode 4 of the Vaultcast. We have two special guests today. Youth Large is back again.
Yep.
Because
I'm alive.
Just doesn't know when to leave. And we have Kunal back as well.
Well, hey. Back again for the first time.
Yes, back again for the first time. Because episode three was a rousing success, and the demand was so high that we brought you all the way back up.
Wow.
Yeah, basically, like, we don't want this show unless Kunal's back on it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Cheers.
Welcome back.
Haji.
After...
what was his name?
Haji.
Johnny Quest's best friend,
yeah.
Sweatshop forgery. So after the massive news of the PS4 and Rock Band of last week, we figure we're going to slow things down and just talk about video game sets. Stop giggling. This is recorded this week. I don't know what you're giggling about.
I'm just giggling. I giggle like a schoolgirl.
We did not record this a week and a half ago.
I really hope some huge news comes and we have to scrap this entire future podcast. Like, oh, Xbox 720. Blah, 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 oh, my God.
God damn it.
God fucking
so
shit.
Anyway,
pissed.
We're going to ease things up a bit and just talk about video game music today.
Since we're going to ease the butt cheeks open.
Woo!
Wow. Favorite. So,
Well, did anyone think of what absolute favorite video game music was?
It'd be tough.
Why are you looking
favorite.
At me like I'm crazy?
Because
as soon as you mentioned it, I was like, I got my answer right there. Bang. That quick.
Okay, so what is it?
So what is your absolute favorite video game music?
The Mega Man music from all those games. You are not alone. Always my favorite because it always had like the harmonized dual guitar solo sound going on, you know what I'm saying? And a couple bands will kind of like reproduce that feeling with me, you know what I mean? When you come,
I know that feel.
A couple 311 songs have the harmonized guitar solos.
Oh,
I'm like,
God.
I'm like,
well,
this totally sounds like
disaster.
Mega Man.
Oh yeah,
Beautiful Disaster could have been a Mega Man song.
Let's come back around to this. Let's come back around to this in a minute. Let's first of all the ongoing thing, which is the 4 for February. Where are we at with that?
I haven't made any progress because we're packing up to move. So
yeah, he's moving. I'll send everybody his address when he gets there.
Make sure to send bricks via window through.
Bojay, you make any progress?
Oh yeah, sure.
Progress.
Me and my new son, week old, we sit down, and we rock out on friggin' Skylanders and stuff. No, I'll stop being a smartass.
Did he learn how to dunk an NBA
gaming.
Jam?
Haven't done much video gaming the last week or so.
I've just been waiting for my computer to get back so I can get back to the Diablo.
You're not a part of this.
You're a guest. You shut your whore mouth.
It's called,
I'm just gonna wean my way into it, and I'm just gonna like.
It's called the pile of shame for a reason, and now we're all experiencing why because none of us are really making any headway.
I'm happy with the fact that I beat two games.
I got past the archers in Andor Londo last night.
Woo!
It took me 2 hours to just try the other night.
Last night or a week and a half
last
ago?
Last night.
Last night.
Last night as in a week and a half ago last night. So I got past them. A week and a half ago.
Yeah.
It took me like 2 hours just of trying. And I remember the first playthrough, I got right by. I was no problem. Just walked up to the dude and was like, what the fuck are you doing here? Bye. Knocked him off the ledge, kept going. 2 hours of the same path to my demise. And then last night, third try, done. Bye.
Nice.
Saved my game, quit. I'm good for tonight.
Nice.
All right, so I think in general, the 4th of February thing, while great in theory, was just horribly timed.
Horribly timed, surprises happened, and...
babies moving.
Yeah, unknown about babies.
I had no idea I was having a child.
the rash we occasionally reference turned into a child.
Actually, no. Wow. No, actually,
that was something
else. The child did come a month earlier than expected.
Oh, okay.
But everything's fine. He's healthy. Everyone's healthy. Everyone's at home and happy, and
except for you. You're here.
Pretty tired. Yeah.
Well, anyway, back on the big subject of this week, is we did kidnap this poor boy who does music. So if you want to tell everybody about the music you do.
Yeah, tell us about...
And well, who you are, and why you're Johnny Quest.
Do you want to start with game remixing, or do you want to talk about your... We'll talk about the company later. Let's start with game remixing.
All right, yeah.
Tell us
sure.
Who you are, what you do.
So I started out, I'm Kate Triton on OC Remix, and kind of just dropped that whole moniker a few years back.
I'm just Kunal Majmudar.
Yeah, so I was in the OC Remix scene. I was in VG Mix when it... was kind of in its heyday. Then I joined the Bad Dudes when, I guess from the...
Are you a bad enough dude to hit your dick with a hammer?
What is wrong with you, Tim?
Have you not ever seen that?
Not hitting a dick with a hammer.
Yeah, normally it's, are you a bad enough dude to rescue the president's daughter?
Yeah, that's
the best photo shot I've ever
from.
Seen of it is, are you a bad enough dude to hit your own dick with a hammer?
No.
Continue.
I might have to find an image of that.
I'll find it right now.
Background picture.
Go, Bojé, go.
Go on.
So that's a negatory. Not that bad.
Not that bad. Okay.
No. Yeah, but I've been doing that forever. And we are... Actually, some cool news was announced at MAGFest. We're working on an Earthbound project with Fangamer, which is super cool.
I briefly mentioned that, but tell us more about it.
Yeah, so we have, Bad Dudes, Mustin is kind of heading us up, the whole group. But you got me, you got Chris or Maze Dude, you have Dale North, Tim Sheehy, all the kind of oldies from OC Remix that kind of went their separate ways.
Ale Sean,
Psycho.
Oh, Ale Sean, the guy who did guitar in that theme song. That one theme song created by... Oh, who created that theme song for our show?
Hodges.
Haji.
Johnny Quest.
Wait, that was you? How did I not know this?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did the theme song.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Tim.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Remember that?
I'm
Tim
drunk.
Kunal, Tim.
I'm going home.
He's did our game,
so fuck, I am home.
Yeah, so it's... we're still kind of, making all the songs right now, and Fangamer's working on all the cover art. And there's going to be some cool stuff that Fangamer does in terms of they really want to work with their fans and the whole community, the Fangamer community that's out there. They want to get some artwork from their fans, and they want to bring it in and really make something super cool. I don't really even know all the details. I know that they're working on some really cool contests on their end. But I love them. I love the work they do, so I think I'm pretty sure it's just going to be...
Is this going to be one CD, two CDs?
We're looking at one CD with some sort of bonus thing that Fangamer will make. I don't know if it's going to be an art book. I don't know if it's going to be something else. And so we're looking at coming out with this around the holidays.
Did you find the picture?
Yeah, but it's got a big
it's got a big white square on it.
I have no idea. I'll grab it.
Continue.
Oh, there.
Wait.
Are you a bad enough dude to hit your own dick with a hammer?
And it's pretty,
It's pretty straightforward.
I'll point the picture to the microphone. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Picture, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Yeah. I don't know why this white square won't
stop going on my face.
Hey, now.
I wonder if I'd get bitched at if I use that as our image for the week.
Probably.
I guess I'll use it for the image.
All right. That's the spirit.
I have a big question.
We're gonna offend the half a listener.
Yeah.
he's here. He likes it. So
Wait.
I know a handful of our listeners, if we even have any, probably heard of Bound Together, which I headed up like 30, 40 years ago, something like that, which was a big Earthbound remix project.
Wait, how old are you?
I'm like 95. You didn't know that?
Oh, fucking Christ. Almost as old as Margaret.
It was a while back. It was like almost, it was
seven, eight years ago, something like that. What is this going to do that Bound Together didn't?
So, Bound Together was, by the way, I was on that. So was probably, like we were talking about earlier today, I think
like pretty much every bad dude.
I think all the bad dudes.
Except
A-Rival. We just inducted A-Rival into the bad dudes fold.
I begged him to. He's like, I don't like Earthbound.
Yeah, and he actually
later,
he said,
I'm going to do Earthbound.
No, well, okay. So I had to, you know, like he said that to me too. He said, I don't really do Earthbound music. And then I was like, well, what if we collabed on something and did some kind of cool electro drum and bass kind of thing? And so he was totally into that. So we're going to try to collab on something. But so what this is going to do, Earthbound, Bound Together was super cool. And actually, you had a follow-up, like, little addition, right? A
couple months later. It's all just Bound Together.
So what that did was take every single track. It was really meticulous listing, like track by track, from the whole Mother 2 game, Earthbound game.
It wasn't every song. Like, I did my best to get as many as possible, mm-hmm. but there's still so many that weren't covered.
Yep. Well, I mean, you fast forward almost 10 years, right? Like, all of us have been kind of going our separate ways and really getting into the industry more. Now I write for music for film, video games, TV, radio, all that stuff. Mustin has produced some really great artists under his label. Dale North is a freaking badass Destructoid editor-in-chief, but he also has...
Love you, Dale.
He Hi, also man. Writes wonderful Christmas morning songs, and he'll know what he means if he hears that.
Kyle's going to be pissed.
I saved it.
Everybody's just gotten way better at their craft and what they do, and we're also... We have a certain, like, tone with the bad dudes where we try to write, like, badass stuff,
yeah.
You know? So I think it'll be very different from Bound Together. It'll be more in bad dude style.
And I'd better get a shout-out in the liner notes for that.
All right, Mustin.
They still make liner notes? Like,
yeah, they're doing an actual physical CD release for this.
All right, that's intense. I'm excited.
What's a CD?
It is a round plastic disc with a hole in the center, but you do not insert your penis into the hole.
I was trying to formulate a penis joke into that, too. I was going to try to add
great minds think alike, yeah. And apparently so do horrible minds.
No, apparently great minds are just really gay.
So I wouldn't know what to do with something with a hole in it. Besides, well, anyway.
Well, I think your recent revelation proves that you quite well know what to do with that hole. Anyway, music.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited that you guys are doing hard-pressed versions of it, because, like, the way that the music industry has kind of been going about, like, hardly anybody really wants to, especially, like, on an independent sort of, like, more underground type of thing, it is very difficult to get hard-pressed copies into people's hands anymore.
Like, no, people love them, and we've been doing them for our major releases for the past few years.
Pronotorious had one, Metroid had one.
Yeah, and
Earthbound's getting one. And it seems like the video game remixing and covering scene just really appreciates having hard copies. Like, look, all the bands, Descendants of Erdrick, Arm Cannon, Rare Candy, everybody has actual physical CDs.
You know, I have.
Awesome.
They're all there behind us.
on my shelf over there, hiding behind the curtain, I've got the record, the very, very, very limited record print that they put out for Sword and Sorcery.
Ooh.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. I had two of them. I sold one of them on eBay because I just didn't need two of them.
Still available. I would love to get the vinyl version of the Retro City Rampage soundtrack.
Ooh, I need to play that still.
I think there's still a couple of those left. I'd love to get that sometime. The game is fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll put it on my list of the other 1,000 games I'm trying to get through.
Put it in your pile of shame.
I'll put it in my pile of shame before I even buy it.
All right, so since we're on the topic of music, we kind of briefly touched on this with Bogue, but...
Hell yeah.
Bogue.
Favorite game soundtracks.
Devil Horns to Mega
You guys are
going
to have to do me last because... Wow, that sounded really bad.
That
sounded really bad.
We're running a train.
Can we edit that out somehow?
On this podcast, we do everybody at the same time.
Just one big...
I only have one rule when we do a train. I am the engine in caboose. I go first and
he
last.
He is wearing the red sweater right now, too.
I get all the privileges of going first, but then I get all the disadvantages of going last.
All right, large.
Well, I mean, I kind of touched on it, let's see here, two episodes ago?
Whatever.
Something like that? Obviously, like, I love the Double Dragon soundtrack.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I like a lot more of the older kind of... like Ninja Gaiden's,
Double Dragon,
Castle Castlevania.
Double Daggeron. Mm-hmm.
Double Daggeron, yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, other... Well, even, like, the Sonic games, too.
If I had to pick one series as your favorite soundtrack, he picked Mega Man.
We should make a whole series?
Oh, I can't, you can't have me pick Mega Man. That's insane.
Yeah.
The easy one is Mega Man 2.
I mean, I'm talking series-wise...
Mega Man Legends.
Series-wise, I might have to go Castlevania.
That was a badass soundtrack.
I love it.
Just because, I mean, obviously... Creepy. Well, yeah, I'm more of a metal dude, so,
and
like...
And you're playing the game, and you're getting creeped out because of the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah. And, thankfully, there's still... That pick's even really good because they're still putting out Castlevania games. Yeah. So it could just keep getting exponentially better, so...
The thing I like about that is a lot of the newer games in... series that have been running for a long time is they'll take their old themes
and reimagine them, remix them,
which is I love that about Castlevania games because they have so many great themes mm-hmm. that they reuse and reimagine, and it's just awesome.
Speaking of that, the Mirror of Fate comes out soon. We watched a video of that earlier.
That looks cool.
That's March, isn't it?
It's early March, I think.
Was it the 5th, maybe?
Something like that, I don't know.
All right, so Tim, your favorite video game?
But probably in the 2 minutes I've had to think about it, Deus Ex. Human Revolution had a fantastic soundtrack.
Yes.
I love, like, him and I will put on Ninja Gaiden and Double Daggeron. we put on those all the time when we're working down at the store. Or Mario. Like, I get a Mario song stuck in my head and I have to put it on in the store to torture everyone with it.
Yeah. Because
it's catchy. But, I mean, I don't come home and sit there and listen to those, but the Deus Ex soundtracks over the years, especially Human Revolution, I went out of my way to get my hands on and put on and listen to, because they're just unbelievable.
Yeah. Nice. For me, I think the...
Just skip over, Kuno. That's cool.
He said he wanted to go last.
Oh, okay.
He wants to get fucked last.
Guest
so.
Privilege.
You didn't remember that.
I do now. It's all pouring back to me.
30 seconds is a long time to remember things. So... Mm-hmm. As much as I would want to say something like Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy series, even newer stuff like No
More
Heroes.
As much as you
want
to be cliche.
I got to go with Earthbound. We've been talking about it. Earthbound has easily been my favorite game of all time. I love the soundtrack.
Yeah, I was over at your place not that long ago, and you're going over the Earthbound songs with me.
Yeah.
And the stuff that was being in the works for this... release, right? And
it wasn't with the Bad Dudes one. I was showing you stuff from Bound Together.
Okay, it was really cool stuff.
I haven't heard anything from the Bad Dudes album.
Earthbound,
which I am solid erect for.
Metal erect.
It's no half shove. It's like full on.
I tried playing Earthbound way back when. Probably around Final Fantasy 8 and 9 came out. Like, I grabbed emulators and tried to play all the old Final Fantasy games. But I grabbed Earthbound because that was one of the big games.
Yeah.
And Chrono Trigger. And I didn't like either of them.
Really?
And I really liked Chrono Trigger, and I'm not, like, an RPG, like, the old-school RPG-esque type of thing. I am mm-hmm. not about them, and Chrono Trigger was awesome.
Something about Chrono Trigger didn't pull me in, and... Earthbound.
Big difference.
I don't know. I didn't, that one just...
Did you play through the whole thing, or did
you start?
No,
I only played maybe a half hour of it.
Like, I'll admit it 100%. Those older RPGs, if you were never into them, it's very hard to get into them because of how old and antiquated the game system is.
Well, I'm okay with antiquated games. I actually really like the fact that we are seeing a lot more of that style. I mean, I almost bought East 1 and 2. On Steam, because it was on sale the other day, because I was watching the video for him, like, this looks awesome. You know,
completely off topic, there's a new East game coming to the Vita this year, which I'm excited about.
East Origins was pretty cool, too.
Yeah, so,
I hated the control screen scheme, but it was good.
So the Vita might have a game on it?
a game.
All
right.
Mine? Okay, so...
Yeah,
I've been really thinking about this.
I waited to go last, and I didn't think about it.
No. So I think my favorite is probably Streets of Rage 2.
Ooh! Yeah. I really like that pick.
Because Koshiro is one of my heroes. But honestly...
That was awesome. Wasn't it this year he was at MAGFest?
Yeah, you know what happened, too? I was playing a show the time that he was doing his panel, and then I was I don't know what happened during his concert. I was doing something else. I don't know if I was doing another show.
Jerking
or
off dudes in the stage.
Probably, yeah.
Giving out hands.
Times are tough, man.
Yeah, you gotta, I was so you gotta pissed. Do, I
missed,
for money.
I missed everything by him.
Shout outs to MAGFest, though.
Oh, yeah.
MAGFest is the shit. What's up, boy?
One soundtrack I forgot, Shadows of the Damned.
Yes!
Fantastic soundtrack.
Love that one, too. That
I like how we all picked something different and everyone's on board with everyone else's pick.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like the old.
Good music is good music.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It is. Good music is just good music.
Real recognizes real.
So what else, Kunal? Streets of Rage 2.
All right. Well,
you elaborate. Said you could talk for like a half hour. You got to carry this podcast.
Okay.
All you know.
Oh, no, I'm done. No. So, to be totally cliche, I do love Chrono Trigger because it was the first cinematic soundtrack that I've ever heard in a game. That's when fair. It came out. Super Mario RPG had a fantastic soundtrack. Soundtracks I love today. I've really been into the new Assassin's Creed 3 soundtrack. I really love the Dead Space 2 soundtrack. The third one, who's the one that's playing, who's going through
that's
Dead
me.
Space?
I only played a little bit more of it again, and I'm just not, I'm a huge Dead Space fan, and I just cannot get into this game.
Because the soundtrack sounds very different, too.
The soundtrack is good so far, but it's just everything else about the game is just...
Yeah.
It really feels like they
failed to carry over the momentum from 2.
Well, it's not even the momentum. It's like because 1 and 2 had a perfect arc to them, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like this is the character, this is his situation. He's trying to survive. Then this happened to him. He's trying to survive. Now he's free, and they had any direction to go in, and they decided to expand the universe. But this was such a huge undertaking that it was too much for them to do in the amount of time they had to develop the game.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, it happens, but...
But my favorite soundtrack from last year in a long time was the Rayman Origins soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
We still didn't get to play through that yet.
Yeah, we have it sitting here.
Oh, man. Christoph Herald, man, he knocked it out of the park. That was an amazing soundtrack and a great game, too.
Overall. I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
Because we like to sit down and bro-op some games.
Yeah, him and I broke through. So. We did Double Dagger on Neon last time, and that was...
so good. So good.
Yeah, that was a blast. What did we do before that?
I can't remember. I think that was when we were doing, like, the take turns doing the Shadows of the Damned thing.
Oh, yeah, we broed it through Shadows of the Damned. I can't remember.
It was just like, you take a level, I take a level, you take a level.
How'd you guys like the soundtrack for Double Dragon Neon?
I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, we were listening to it before we played the game, too.
And we talked about this a lot two weeks ago.
Yeah.
the live episode.
Jake did a fantastic job. Jake Kaufman is the composer for that, and he did a great job with it.
I love that he did, like, a little snippet for every single one of, like, the upgrades and different stances that you could have.
The mixtapes.
Yeah, those are fantastic. I love them.
That was genius that he did a new one for every single different power-up.
I could not stop, like, giggling every single time when we were the first playthrough, because he showed me that he had the entire thing available for download on his website, and I listened to, like, the first two tracks, and I'm like, dude, we need to get this. We need to sit down and play it. So we got it, we sat down and started playing it, and we're like, what are these tape things? And then we go into the system, like, oh, you have different stint. And then we notice, like, every single time you got a new one, there was a different song to it. And we would sit there, and, like, every single time we unlocked a new one, we're like, I can't wait to hear the song. And then we'd go in and then we'd listen to it.
Because like, there were all parodies of, like, that was you know, song, like, actual songs from the 80s.
Dead air.
Love it. One-ups and everything.
Joe is passing a note around for those who can't see it, which is everybody listening.
So if you don't be careful, the teacher will grab that note and read it aloud in front of the class.
I said, do you like me? Yes, no, circle one.
Yeah, but that it was on your phone, so how are you supposed to circle?
With his dick.
Yeah, it's a touchscreen.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Touchscreen. Got it. That makes a lot more sense.
We are horrible.
Yeah, we're bad this
That's
week.
What's great about it. Love it.
All right, so the cool thing about having all you guys here is that you're like all actual real musicians, right?
Sort of. That's what I like to think. That's what I'm working towards. Well,
the guests this week are musician and musician.
And Bogue is musician.
Bogue's a musician.
Done it for like 20 years, I guess.
So,
I'm a bathroom vocalist.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Me too.
Yeah, you are.
I'm a bathroom vocalist. High five, bro.
I'm a bathroom.
Hey, the acoustics are really good.
I'm a bathroom porn star. To yourself.
I'm a bedroom meat flutist.
I play the fallopian tuba on my off chance.
All right, so youth large. What instrument do you play? What have you done?
Primarily, I'm a drummer, but I dabble in a lot of other stuff.
You do more than dabble, but...
Well, yeah, dribble. I suppose. Because I have dabble, done, like... Dribble. I did have a solo project where I did, like, everything for it. So I did the bass, the guitar, like, vocals, a little bit of piano, like, and then drums, obviously. But
you said one of your previous bands has some stuff in Rock Band, right?
Yes. I was... I know, I'm sad.
I'm still... can't get over it.
I know. Because that was, like, that was my shit. Like, it's... Because I would actually, for a while, I would use Rock Band to practice. Because I had this little, like, tiny, shitty-ass apartment that I couldn't actually... play my drums in, so I would play Rock Band and just kind of use that to practice. And
so your neighbors all night would hear
but they're like, oh, he's playing a game, that's fine, whatever. But if I were to bring like a acoustic set into there, they'd
do you want
to
plug your songs that are in Rock Band?
Well, I'm not in the band anymore, so I don't really care. But
the band's
still active. I left mainly just because Ryan didn't want to tour.
Ryan's the lead singer.
He's the singer and guitar player. He's phenomenal player. Really,
yeah. He's the band was good.
Well, they still are. They are. They're
no,
good.
No, the band is still good.
So we started working on this newer album. I think it was last November, the November before that. And right before the album was about to get released, that was when I was really into a lot of Rock Band stuff, and I saw that. Some of the companies that were doing the charting and stuff like that were, they had these like forums where you can kind of go on there and see exactly what they were working on. And there was one like little, thread that they were just like, oh, suggest some stuff that we should check out to see if, you know, we like it and, you know, put it into the game. Yeah. And just on a whim, I was just like, oh yeah, check these guys out. And I plugged the band that I was playing for, Ethereal Collapse. And
shameless stuff.
I did. Hey man.
You're doing
cutthroat, man. music industry's tough.
I've done it for years.
So they checked it out and they were just like, yeah, the material's really solid. You know, it's stuff that we think would be really fun to play, not just, you know, oh, the song's cool, let's work with it.
Yeah.
So they just kind of took it at an aspect of, yeah, you know, these would be fun to play. Let's do it. Let's go for it. And we did I think our third album, which is a concept EP called Categories.
Categories.
They took the three songs from that and put all three songs on the Rock Band Network for people to download, which started giving us a lot of promotion.
Yeah.
There were people that were, you know, reposting videos of them playing the songs on Rock Band. So that got a lot more attention. And then even there were a couple labels that saw the stuff just from doing that. And we got a lot of label attention for the album that we were about to put out.
Yeah.
And that ultimately the reason why I had left is because we started getting the label attention. They were just like, hey, you guys got a tour. One guy's like, no, I don't really want to. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go do something where I can, because that's ultimately what I want to do. So yeah. That's where I'm at right now. But
you pretty much play everything, huh?
Yeah, I've gigged out the band that I was in after that, just to kind of like get some money in my pocket. Was like a bar cover band kind of thing while I was working on my original stuff, and I played bass for them. I played guitar in a Rage Against the Machine tribute band for like a year or two.
Very cool.
I was a vocalist of a death metal band when I was like 16. Called Pillage, and that was a lot of fun.
Played xylophone a couple of times.
In jazz ensemble when I was in high school, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice. But, and that was actually a lot of fun, because the way that you kind of have to play it is you have to have two mallets, and the way that you hold them is like kind of like really weird.
Yeah,
it was so weird. Like, it took me a while to get a hold of it, but...
All right, Pogue, what about you? Tell us what you do musically.
What does Pogue do? Well, I've been...
do you do what Pogue do?
I've been a bass player for about 20 years, and since then I've also picked up anything with a string. Guitar, mandolin, dulcimer... Tampons. No, basically anything that you can play without a bow, because I tried to play a violin once. It's tuned exactly like a mandolin, so I'm like, hey, I can do this shit. And they actually told me to put it down. Like, oh, you want to try that out?
And it was like, at gunpoint. They're like, put the violin down, back away from the violin.
Couldn't get it to resonate right, and it sounded terrible. No, you don't understand. Like, there's no cats in heat.
That could possibly
sound that bad. But yeah. Anyway, I've actually was in a band that played with me, Youth Large's band. A couple times back in the day, I was in a band called Absolution. They disbanded about 3 years after I left the band. But I know they got a real loyal following. A lot of people trying to get them back together.
Well, I think some of the members actually started the. I think it's Beyond the Gray.
Beyond the Gray.
I think
that's cool. I'll have to check them out.
Yeah, something like that.
Is that a Liam Neeson?
I lost touch with a lot of them, but they're all really great guys. And I did leave the band on decent terms. You know, none of us hated each other. I just I was going through some stuff, and they wanted to take it to the next level, and I just wasn't ready to commit to that.
That always seems to be like the turning point for a lot of groups, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, it's completely understandable, but. But even like the project that I'm working on right now, Remley, but this is going to be a little bit of a departure for me, mainly just because a lot of the bands that I've worked with in the past has always been like a four or five piece group, mm-hmm. And this we're keeping it strictly to a three piece, and I'm doing drums, but I'm also the lead vocalist.
Mm-hmm. You know what would help your band? Video game covers.
You know,
this is
true. You know what?
I
was honestly debating on trying to transpose a couple songs that I really, really liked from video games past into like a little medley that we can kind of work into gigs from time to time, depending on the crowd.
It doesn't matter what the audience is; everybody will know the fucking Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, but I don't want to. That's not the stuff that I would want to do. I would want to do like more of like the even in Ethereal Collapse for a while, because you know we didn't really take ourselves too seriously a lot of the times.
To the Ethereal,
but it collapsed.
Make sure
there were shows that every single time, like before we introduced a song, we'd be like, this song is our favorite song, it's about dead hookers, and then we would just start playing. But then after every single song, we would use I don't know if it's the level up or the, because I never actually played any of the Final Fantasy games, because I'm not into those kind of RPGs. But I think it's either from the level up or like after each fight sequence, after every single song, we would play that. Like,
that's awesome. That is awesome.
But it was fun. It kept things kind of like, it kept things interesting. And for the band, like, because it was melodic death metal, I mean, I'm more into heavier stuff. Yeah. So it kind of brought this kind of like fun atmosphere to the show. So.
All right, Kunal?
That's cool.
I know you have worked with like nearly every band that plays at MAGFest. tell us more about the music you've done, who you've worked with.
Sure.
Take it to the limit.
Take it to the limit. Well, I started off as a drummer, but I've worked with the 1UPs, I've worked with the Bad Dudes, I've worked with the Smash Brothers, I've played with DOD Live this past year. I've also played with, I'm blanking.
My God, you played with them?
He's mine, too!
Lane Lee's group.
I don't know.
Oh, Select Start.
Oh.
So I've done a bunch of this stuff. I really can't do the band thing, like long-term stuff. It's just too much.
The performance aspect for me is what it really kind of comes down to. I'm I consider myself to be more of an entertainer more than a composer. Yeah. I mean, I write material and stuff like that, and I'm okay at it. But at the same time, I'd rather be in front of people playing that stuff instead of sitting in a corner and.
Oh, that's me.
Because I can't figure out.
I'm in my studio cranking out tunes for whatever, you know?
Cranking out tunes.
Tunes.
You're cranking out more than tunes, buddy.
Are we talking about holes again?
Yeah. CD holes.
CD holes.
So tell us more about, like, the bands you've played with at MAGFest.
Sure, yeah.
Details,
so,
bitch.
So,
I think Youth Large is going to keep making it about him and his nun.
No, I want to hear about your stuff, man.
His non-video game-related bands.
Well, I've been playing with Smash. They're the ones who invited me out to MAGFest 6 or 5 or whatever it was when we started. So that had some fantastic people. The guy who did your intro, the this is SML, yeah. You know, that's Norg. He was our bassist, actually. And then we had...
Was that a Chapman stick?
Yeah, it was. Wow.
Those are
really
impressive.
You know what that is.
Oh, they're so cool.
So
shout out to Norg.
Yeah, for those who don't know what that is, it's basically like a 10-string or 12... I don't know if it's 10 or 12-string.
I forget.
But it's 10 strings, I think, and it's basically a guitar and bass meshed together.
Right. You have to tap everything so you don't pluck it like you would.
You're pretty much playing a 2x4 with strings.
Tony Levin is actually phenomenal on those. Yes. He's
He's nuts.
So that was... So he was our bassist. We also had Jake, the guy who did... Double Dragon Neon and a whole bunch of other amazing games.
Snake? Double Dagron?
Snake Roberts.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Amazing.
So he was our keyboard player. I was the drummer. We had some other guys in industry. Midi.
Elshon,
the guy who did guitar for your theme.
Very cool. Met him.
He did. He was one of our guitarists. We had like a million guitarists. So I was in Smash Brothers for a while until we sort of imploded 1 year and we were like, no more.
Because of alcohol, yay!
Yeah, alcoholism.
So I'm really interested on how, like, so you gigged out often with these
No. So
just studio projects.
No. So what we did was we would all write, you know, these arrangements separately, and then we would send them to everybody, practice, and then meet up at MAGFest
and
play.
Then just play them.
Just play it that one time, and that was great for me because I'm busy working on music for other productions, so I can't tour or gig regularly. So that was great, then.
Aren't you an honorary one-up now?
Yeah, that's what they keep calling
honorary.
Me. So, I play with the one-ups a lot for, I don't know, years now. And they started inviting me out when they go play big places. So they'll just fly me out to, I don't know, Ann Arbor or whatever, you know, to play a gig with them. So they're super cool. I love those guys. I love their new direction. And where they're going. They're going to like
electro-funk.
This electro-galactic funk.
It. That's awesome. Pretty cool. So good.
So good. So much fun to play. So I do, these days I do auxiliary percussion for them, but I've done keyboards for them in the past. And then with,
Yeah, we used the one-ups as our featured song 2 episodes ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about Double Dragon, so we played Two Dragons, One.
Oh!
A funk. I still think it should have been Wubble Dragon.
Wubble Dragon.
Because it has, like, the kind of dubstep-ish bass in parts of it, and it's Wubble.
Wubble Dragon.
I remember telling Mustin about that at the barbecue. It's like, should have been Wubble Dragon. He just stopped, put his head down, smiled, and been like, son of a bitch.
That's great.
I played this past year with DOD Live, so Tony Dickinson, Prince of Darkness.
I love him. He's great.
He plays with, like, the Transatlantic Siberian Orchestra, but it's Trans-Siberian.
Which, there's like two different.
Yeah, he plays
TSOs,
on the.
Right?
He plays on the West Coast.
The West Coast one.
Yeah.
Wait, he plays with them?
Yeah.
There's technically two different groups because I know someone that actually plays in the East Coast one.
Right.
Because there's one that tours like predominantly most West Coast.
I just didn't know Tony was. With
TSO.
I didn't know Tony was Danza.
He plays. He's their bassist, and I don't know. House of Great. I don't know.
When it's not Christmas, they go back to being Sabotage and kick all the extra people out of the band.
So, I mean, for someone that's in. You know, directly involved with this kind of industry, I'm actually really curious to...
ladies and gentlemen.
Your opinions on bands that kind of integrate the video game type of sounds, or even, like, that kind of stuff, but are a full-time, like, touring act. The bands like Power Glove, Machine of Supremacy, like, stuff like that.
I love those guys. Yeah. We gig with them whenever, I play with the one-ups, or I see them at MAGFest all the time. No, I think they're awesome, and I love Onomatoguchi. I love their soundtracks, too. So,
we played a gig with Power Glove. I don't even remember. It was years ago, but they were awesome. They were really fantastic. And then even, like, Machine of Supremacy, I've never been able to see them live, but I've always been...
You're in luck.
It's so
they're
so bad. They're
going to be at MAGFest.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Ooh.
Isn't that another year away now?
Machine Supremacy. Because all I could think of is just Machine Supremacy. But they're the first confirmed headlining act.
That's awesome. I really want to go now. Because Machinist Supremacy, they kind of like... 12. They were the first band that I actually heard that incorporated a lot of, like, the video gamey, like, really old kind of synth styles. Because the first time I heard, I forget what song it was, but I'm like, I'm listening to it, and I'm like, man, it sounds like they're playing Mega Man in the background. I'm like, that's actually really cool. And then the more I listen to their stuff, I'm like, oh, no, that's their stick. Like, they just do that in all their stuff. Like,
they're going to be at MAGFest in January.
That's awesome. I want to go to that.
So, yeah, pre-register, MAGFest.org. They're also in Rock Band now, too.
So what, now, I'm really, I'm really oblivious to, like, what is MAGFest?
MAGFest started off as the Mid-Atlantic Gaming Festival.
Okay.
And then it quickly turned into the Music and Gaming Festival.
Oh, cool.
It's pretty much a Thursday through Sunday party. I don't want to say it's a convention, because it's not. It's, you know, they'll have panels, they have a game room, a video room. But it's very much a party-like atmosphere.
Cool.
Than, like, a formal convention. It's, and, you know, the Lumberjack Lounge, we have a party room that's insane. You've been there.
Yeah.
Insane in the membrane.
Yeah.
And where is that at?
Baltimore Harbor, down in D.C.
Oh, cool. So that's, like, not that far from us.
No, it's not.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's
so
exciting.
So in January, make sure you get there. I've told Tim about it the past 2 years, and
first, was it this past January?
Yes, first weekend.
And I didn't know about it.
Son of a bitch.
It's pretty amazing.
I always end up like forgetting about it until the weekend of, and then I'm like, oh fuck.
I forget about it until I come back. I'm like, oh, you should have been to MAGFest.
No, yeah.
Oh yeah.
No, yeah. It's always the week after MAGFest. He's like, yo, MAGFest was awesome. I'm like, MAGFest happened.
Yeah.
And the past couple of years, me, my buddies Pappy, John, Ian, Rory, Haroon, we get
all names that mean something to our listeners.
Yes. A couple of people.
Hey, it'll mean something to them if they're listening.
let's be honest. For the past couple of years, we've all gone in and gotten a
largest brain.
The chair gave out. We all went in and got this huge, like, $1,500 a night hospitality suite.
That's pretty sweet.
Just partied like a fucking rock star the entire time. We had, this past year was the Brotel. So, like, we all had popped collars.
I don't think I can go then.
It's the Gaylord.
It was the Gaylord.
I stayed and made the Gaylord this weekend for Capcom.
The whole
thing. And I was working.
I did. Well, I have no room to talk. I technically was in like a. It was a joke, bro hardcore band that we were called, like. I think it was just like the. The Bro Show.
No.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
You should make a bro version of Gone Crazy and call it Bro Crazy.
No, we used to play like really straight up. Oh wow, that is an awful picture. Thank you for that.
a picture with Joe and all of his friends at the bro party,
at the Brotel party.
We're wearing the most obnoxious collared shirts and sideways hats imaginable.
See now,
all doing the duck lip look. You know, like
the duck face. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
they all think it's cool, you know.
You didn't get spray tans for that weekend?
No. Oh, you fucking should have.
You should have. Yes. If you do it, you can't half-ass it, man.
It wasn't a whole weekend bro thing. It was one day only.
It was like
a whole weekend you just were
Friday night
yourself.
Was bro. Yes, exactly. So. It was a party.
There was some
to make fun of
ice.
The whole thing. Yeah.
Oh, you iced each other?
You did. Oh. I got iced, yeah. My buddy Matt Zerum iced me.
And, so, yeah.
That's awful.
It is. but they do a cool thing. This year they did a costume, like dress up like your favorite video game or something, right? Your favorite game, and Joe went as a...
It's just conventions have cosplay.
Okay, well, it was so funny because
the first time
Joe...
in my life I decided to do cosplay.
Wait, really?
I grew my beard out. I grew what little hair I have left. I grew that out, got it shaved into a mohawk, kept the beard... Bought a pink bathrobe and Angry Bird slippers, and I was fat retired Zangief.
And that was great because I got a picture. I got a picture of Joe with this sign that says "We'll fight for food."
Well, it says "We'll fight." "We'll street fight" crossed out, and below it says "We'll bear hug for money." And it was like $20 hugging people.
But it was great because
wow. He missed you.
He looked. Oh, there you go.
It was. I did it all day Thursday.
Oh, man.
He did. He looked like a fat. Like I said, he should have gone all out.
Yeah,
he should have gone all out and shaved the two arrows on his
on your chest. Yeah, you have the chest hair sticking out.
Should have the chest hair sticking out.
No, yeah. you should have shaved it like 3 weeks before and let it just kind of grow in, like you're not really taking care of it anymore.
No, because I didn't want to walk around with the robe open too far. I'm fat. No one wants to see that.
Actually, in that situation, everybody wants to see it.
What you do is you still do that, but then if people want to see it, then you just open up your robe.
I didn't want to walk around a convention
flashing people
with like 7,000 people showing off my flabby man tits. Is that better?
Well, you need to.
But that's what Zangief.
Yeah, you would have made a lot more than
you would have made a lot more than $20, my friend.
Sometimes you just gotta suck it up and give the people what they want.
Yep.
What I love is how we were talking about like what people do in video games, talking about Magfest.
Well, cool. it's related. I didn't know what it was, so I just figured I'd ask. No. Sorry for asking.
Oh, you better be sorry. But you will be sorry. You do guitar. Vogue does bass. Kunal does drums. I sing. Let's form.
I see what's going on.
Oh no!
I see what's going on here now.
SML Pod Band.
Yeah. SML Pod Band. I could probably hold my own on Rock Band still. I haven't played in a while.
The clean Jesus vocals. Christ. Tim could do the screaming vocals. No, we'll
no, he does
band.
The keyboard.
No, he's
no, he does keyboard.
Is it your
keyboard? Keyboard, drums, guitar. No, you were
bass
or bass.
Guitar. I said I could do anything.
Guitar. Piano.
We all can do anything.
You're all on.
We can definitely do this.
Okay, well,
this
can happen. Guitar. Okay. Anyways,
that is.
Joe just tried to solicit. I love this picture. Joe just tried to solicit a band forming. It was awesome.
We're all too tired.
We can name ourselves
We could do a rock band.
Band of the Hawk.
By the way, I don't know about you guys, but I suck at Rock Band or Guitar Hero.
I'm
like really the worst.
I'm really good at it.
Are you good at it?
Yeah.
I
used to play a lot of like what was the Step Mania?
Okay,
it was basically like DDR, but use your keyboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to play that a lot in high school. So I like reading the notes, like sight reading, really fast.
Well, you're like an exception. Almost all the musicians that I know hate Rock Band or Guitar Hero because they suck at it, but they can actually play real instruments. So,
right.
Watching
you play expert drums, you're still hitting more drum notes that are on the screen. You're like, no, this should be here.
This is what it should be.
There's got to be a ghost hit here.
I remember the first time I played a game like that was it was Guitar Hero. Sorry, Joe. Joe's like down with Guitar Hero. It was Guitar Hero, and it was the song. Oh crap! The Slipknot song.
Before I forget.
Yes, the first time I played was Before I Forget.
I'm really happy I didn't know that.
And
I'm glad you forgot that.
And my band at the time played that song, and it was one of our favorite songs to play, a fan favorite, and we played it well.
I love that song.
And I got booed off the stage on the video game because I couldn't. I'm like, I fucking play this song. How can I not get these buttons? I fucking hate this.
What
game.
Was really funny was when I started playing the Ethereal Collapse stuff that was on right now.
Playing
because
your own stuff.
I was playing our own songs, and there were people that were getting much better scores than me at a song that I play every weekend. Like,
right. Oh, there's videos out there of like actual bands that have.
Scott Ian's
songs.
One is hysterical.
No, singers that sing their own song that's in the game, and they fail.
And yeah.
They
fail.
Like, Michael Stipe, I saw, did it. Paul McCartney just had an interview about his songs being in Rock Band and about how his nephews play it, and they're like, oh, yeah, they beat me all the time. But I made those songs.
Right.
So they can have their high scores. They're still playing
my song. Yeah. No, if you want a really funny video of, like, musicians trying to play their own songs on Rock Band, the Scott Ian one is hysterical.
I'm probably going to go home and look that up.
Yeah. He's the guitar player.
I'm an Anthrax fan, and
yep.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, it is really funny. I think it was when Rock the 80s came out.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Scott Ian-related note in the last Guitar Hero game. The Damned Things had a song for downloadable content.
Ooh.
Have you heard The Damned Things?
Yes, because it was the singer. That. It was the singer from Every Time I Die, him, and then, two guys from Fall Out Boy. Yeah. Which everybody was like, oh, Fall Out Boy, but they're good musicians, awesome, so it makes
sense.
I
love The Damned Things. I wish they could have had stuff in Rock Band, but it'll never happen now.
You know, there is still a lot of stuff that was on Rock Band. I haven't played it in forever, but I do want to go back and download some of these songs that I know are on the network or DLC, because, like, they put Opeth on it, finally.
Yeah.
So I'm like, nice. Yeah, I'll take a song that's, like, 11 minutes long. That sounds great to me.
Well, if it's Rock Band Network, it can't be over 10. Like, 9:58 is the max.
Well, would they,
I wonder if they edited
it. Consolidate?
I'm sure they...
they had to edit it down then. Yeah.
But if you're looking for any of the old Rock Band songs, like, anything before Rock Band 3 that was $2 is a buck now. So there's,
ooh,
like, over 1,000 songs on sale.
That's awesome.
But, anyway, I guess it's time to wrap this one up. Kunal, I want to thank you for coming up again 2 weeks in a row. You're a trooper for making this drive.
I do it because of you.
Youth Large, I would thank you for coming up again, but I guess you're turning into a regular now, so...
He used to live on my couch.
I used to live on Tim's couch, so it's...
Remember when he was a guest the first time he was here?
He wouldn't say
a word?
Yeah.
And then
I sat on the couch laughing at people.
You should speak up some more. He goes, oh, no, I don't want to do it, you know, and now we just...
Now he's like, this is my show, motherfucker.
Yeah, now he has a name.
Yeah, now I'm like, yeah.
He contributed. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. I contributed more than
next stop, mute.
I'm like a bacteria, man. I just kind of like sneak my way in.
We're going to get some antibiotics for next week. And
all right, well, I'm gonna pack up the rest of the podcasters in a crate and ship them back home. So
we got to end with our featured song of the week.
Oh, that's right.
Kunal was talking about Chrono Trigger earlier and Bad Dudes. Danimal Cannon, the... guitar in Arm Cannon.
And Metroid Metal.
And Metroid Metal. He plays in fucking everything.
He has his own chiptune stuff. Amazing.
On the one Bad Dudes project, he covered a Chrono Trigger song called Rockin' on Heaven's Door, which was my favorite song on the Chronotorious project. And on the new Arm Cannon album, Leg Vacuum 2, they recovered his song. So
it's a cover of a cover?
Yeah, pretty much. We're going to close out with Corona to Rigor from Chrono Trigger and Arm Cannon. Check them out at armcannon.bandcamp.com. Kunal, thanks again for showing up. And Youth Large, suck a dick.